Good Monday evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing? Did you have a good weekend? We went to the movies. Yeah, I wrote about it in our little mini blog at MikeMalloy.com or NovaMRadio.com. You can go either place and check it out. Interesting, though, how a lot of attention was focused, and who wrote this to me? Sheila did right before the program. A lot of attention focused on the Batman movie, but very little, as a matter of fact, none on John Cusack's movie, The War Incorporated, right? When that came out. Where did we go to see that, Kathy? Huh? Oh, we got an advanced copy from SAG. Oh, okay. From Screen Actors Guild. Well, lucky us. But it is not surprising. It's not surprising that War Incorporated would be denied access to mainstream media. Any more surprising than Bugliosi's book about indicting George Bush for murder? The blackout there, no surprise there either. They will allow us to see what and promote the hell out of what they want us to see, right? Barack Obama, as you know, is in the war zones. He has been doing the same thing on his global walkabout that he did in the United States, that is inspiring crowds of thousands of people. Wait till he hits the... Where's he going in Europe? I know he's going to Berlin. That's really got the Bush crime family upset, doesn't it? Oh, no, not another Ich bin ein Berliner speech. Oh, God. Every place he goes, he really inspires people. And then McCain is back here talking. Well, we'll play for you what his recent geographical gaffe. I mean, this guy is really about brick walls and dead ends. You talk about a dead ender. John McCain, my friends, is just, oh my God. Every time I listen to him, I just think this guy is not serious. He really isn't serious about this presidential run. And I think about all the Republicans who are just damn determined to vote for him. What in the world they are finding that is inspiring about this guy to even the least degree? I mean, anything. He's a jerk. I mean, you know, at least George Bush had some murderous qualities about him that were evident and allowed people to say, oh my God, he's got murderous qualities about him. But this guy McCain, I don't even see the murder aspect. I mean, what's that? There's no there. There's nothing. And when Holy Joe is not on his elbow whispering guidance into his ear like some mafia consigliere, McCain doesn't know what the hell to say. But we'll get to that. Also on the program tonight, I think we're going to have a moment with Bob. We may have a brief Uncle Mike story corner. What else we got? Just want to keep entertained, that's all. Don't ever want you to get bored. Even you freaks who write me some of these funny hate letters. And they are funny. I'm not, you know, not being funny about them being funny. They're very funny. Joyce in Arkansas, our bureau chief down there, sent me an email right before the program began here. She said, Mike, yesterday during Wolf Blitzer's interview with that creature some call the shoe lady. I totally freaked out at her insipid responses about Iraqi officials now openly favoring a timeline for U.S. withdrawal. Totally sidestepping the question he asked, the shoe lady quipped, "Well, you know, Wolf, the reason we're in Iraq is because we were invited to be there." What? Were we invited into a... By who? That freak, what was his name, Kathy? It kept feeding the fake information to everybody. What was his name? Shoehorn or 8-Ball or Crap Nose? I think it was 8-Ball. Joyce writes, "Whoa there, Ms. Condi! Some of us do recall the reasons we're there. All lies and propaganda. The unprovoked invasion of another nation. The nights of shock and awe. The tens of thousands of innocent civilians killed and maimed. 4,000 plus GIs killed. Thousands severely injured. All in their greedy quest for oil. Mike, these people make me sick." Naturally, Mr. Blitzer didn't follow up on her disgusting statement. I miss that. I miss all the Sunday news programs now by design. I've reached that point. I cannot do it. I will watch for sound bites that Kathy may pull at, after this garbage is off the air. But I can't do it anymore. I can't do Judas Stephanopoulos. I can't do Press the Meat. I can't do Nace the Fation or Face the Nation. I can't do I can't do Wolf Blitzer, the former German U-boat commander. I can't. I just can't. I probably should, since I'm supposed to make scurrilous remarks about these pigs, but I just can't do it anymore. But that's amazing. Amazing. We were invited into Iraq. Invited. No, shoe lady. Shoe lady. Listen up. You get invited to a party. You get invited on a date. You get invited to a baseball game. You don't goddamn get invited to invade a country. But it's too early in the program for me to lose it like that. So I take that back. We were invited to commit mass murder. We were invited. No, don't. Hey, what is going on in Chicago? Kathy and I lived there for almost 4 years, back at the end of the Clinton years, when the gnats and scum and filth were eating at his nether regions, trying to bring him down. Almost did. But Chicago, we get this thing now from NBC5, Channel 5 in Chicago, that this blew right past us last week. But last week, the governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, signed a new law that, this is just part of the story, will put in place tougher penalties for selling guns to minors. I think prison for 10 years would be a good one for that. Selling a gun to a minor? Rancid sons of bitches. Blagojevich also announced he's got a new idea to help combat the violence that is just ripping Chicago to pieces. He's talking to the Illinois State Police and the Illinois National Guard to see if they can help. Whoa, stop, back up just a little bit, Governor Blagojevich. National Guard? Well, I guess the National Guard, I guess the governor has the right to do that. It gets awful close to a violation of posse comitatus, but this story just hurts. Blagojevich said when he signed this bill, last week, he said, quote, "Violent crime in the city of Chicago is out of control. I'm offering resources of the state to the city to work in a constructive way with Mayor Daley to do everything we can possibly do to help stop this violence," end quote. The horrible part, there has been a child shot nearly every day on average since school ended. Well, since summer began, June 26, 29 Chicago public school students have been shot since last fall. Blagojevich said, quote, 28 of those kids are African-American and Latino. Hard to imagine that this would be acceptable if it were, in fact, the case in other parts of the city. He means white sections, or in the middle-class suburbs somewhere. He added, something is wrong and this violence has to stop. End quote. I had no idea. A little bit more on the story when we come back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. It's Nova M Radio. Stay with us.
There's a lot of speculation that these reports in Washington mean there's going to be some kind of graceful exit out of Iraq. We're going to stay in Iraq to get the job done.
Job's done, chuckle nuts. The three or four, I don't know, small number, large transnational oil companies run by the UK and the US have just about got their... Oh, that's right. Maliki said no. Anyway, back to Chicago. This is really strange. The governor there, Rod Blagojevich, said that the city of Chicago is out of control. Now, he made this announcement in terms of crime. He made this announcement without consultation of Mayor Richie Daley, which is probably not a good idea. Blagojevich said Daley hadn't asked for help, but Blagojevich said he'd call the mayor once he has some concrete suggestions about what help he can provide. In fact, according to NBC 5 in Chicago, Daley's office said the mayor didn't know anything about Blagojevich's comments and didn't know he was going to make them. Anyway, a spokesman for the Chicago Police Department begs to differ. They said... the spokeswoman, Monique Bond, said that crime in Chicago is not, quote, out of control at all. And she pointed out that if the current murder rate holds in the city, 2008 may end with fewer than 500 homicides. And that means it is expected to be one of the least deadly years in the city in the last 40 years. 500 homicides. Blagojevich said it's probably more likely that state troopers would be used instead of guardsmen. In fact, after he made the statement, his spokespeople moved very quickly to stress in a news release that Blagojevich was not considering bringing National Guard troops to the city. The only way the Guard would be involved is with the use of tactical helicopters that are currently used in narcotics operations. Well, 29 dead school children since last fall, or students shot. I don't know how many of them died, but 29 of them shot, school kids since last fall. And 28 of them are either African-American or Latino. That story makes me sad. Mike in St. Paul got into the Wayback Machine and found a little story here about how the Soviets, when they went into Afghanistan in December of 1979... in order to prop up a commie government there. And it took them 10 years to get out, almost 10 years. They said that Moscow said its army had been officially invited into Afghanistan, just like Condoleezza Rice said on Wolf Blitzer's program yesterday, that we had been invited into a rock. And the weird part is, people like Condoleezza Rice can make those statements knowing full well that Wolf Blitzer's not going to challenge her at all. Not going to say a word. Just going to sit there with that goofy U-boat commander look on his face and just, oh, yeah, okay. And I say, wait a second, wait, what do you mean we were invited in? What are you talking about, invited in? By whom? Curveball? Shoehorn, whatever the freak's name is, Ahmed Shalabi, the lying son of a bitch who has been working for the CIA for the past 40 years and wants to be emperor of Baghdad, is that who invited us in? Nobody invited us in. We told the world we had to stop the greatest threat to world peace since Adolf Hitler by attacking the country because, well, you know, you don't want the smoking gun to turn out to be a mushroom cloud over Chicago. And now she has the audacity, the Secretary of State, who has done nothing, absolutely zip, since 2004. What has Condoleezza Rice accomplished as a Secretary of State? What has she accomplished? Anyone see some hands? Anybody want to? No? No hands up? Okay. A Secretary of State who has done nothing. Oh, she travels a lot, right? She gets to travel a lot. Well, we are here today to acknowledge the presence of certain fundamental ideas that have been established through many acts of various legislative bodies throughout the history of everything that's known and all that. So I would like to thank the Prime Minister of Fill in the Blank for meeting with me today to help me to establish that the United States does and always has believe in certain aspects of conditions that may or may not prevail upon the various scenes possible to this sort of regime that could very easily work out.
Burn down the brush, you gotta turn on the heat. You gotta pick a fight to Crawford and buy from those seat. Because W's got a mission, W's got a plan. W's got a pistol, it's burning in his hand. Cause he's turned the world into one big Texas. What?
Listening to Mike Malone on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
25 before the hour. This is funny. Just think, if Obama wins, we will have the first mentally and physically sound president since Jimmy Carter. Yeah. In an email referencing Condoleezza Rice. The scandal du jour from well, it's not really a scandal, but the Bush crime family, the propagandists, the Joseph Goebbels and thugs inside the Bush crime family are trying to turn this into a scandal to have something to toss to Limbaugh and the rest of the pigs in right-wing talk radio so they can in turn toss them out to the millions and millions and millions of listeners they have. That scandal is The statement made by the so-called Prime Minister of Iraq, Maliki, Maliki's position where it concerns U.S. troops in Iraq and sooner rather than later withdrawal, dovetails nicely with Senator Barack Obama's position of getting them out. And Maliki's position is absolutely counter to that of Bush McCain. Bush McCain is, you know, it's just endless occupation, endless war, endless everything. It just, you know, until Bush McCain dies in office, it's just endless, endless, endless. There's no end to it, nothing. And 53 U.S. military bases, and Bush McCain going over every 6 months to travel around with a couple of battalions of fully armed Marines and flight crews overhead and choppers and snipers. But Bush McCain is out of his freaking mind. Meanwhile, Barack Obama is in Iraq now after going to Afghanistan for these consultations with American military commanders and Iraqi leaders. And if you've seen any of that video, which I have seen, it's astonishing. If you watch the body language, oh my God, the lack of arrogance on the part of Barack Obama as he approaches Maliki, and don't tell me it's Maliki, I couldn't care less, as he approaches Maliki, as he approaches these Iraqi members of parliament, the body language, non-aggressive, non-threatening, not arrogant, and the response, the body language from the Iraqis that he's approaching, open, grateful, hopeful. It's so obvious. If you've ever read, oh Jesus, now I can't think of the title. What was the book, Kathy, about body language? It came out 30 years ago. Oh, never mind. You. No, it wasn't the body language book. I forget the name of it. But it was a very well done book on how to read body language, and I found it fascinating. Everything from how many eye blinks per minute to determine if someone's telling the truth to, you know, sitting with one's hands on one's head or knees crossed or whatever. But if you watch the video of Barack Obama striding into, not in an arrogant way, but in a way almost like, look, I'm here, everything's going to be okay. I Barack Obama, realize that you've been talking with madmen from my country for the past 6 years. I understand. Madmen and madwomen. I realize Rice has been here, and Cheney and Bush and all these murderous sons of bitches. They are not moi. I am different. Here, look at me. And then there's a response from the Iraqi leaders. It is so obvious to see. And the other thing that's obvious to see is the absolute connection between Barack Obama and the troops. This crazy son of a bitch McCain who keeps saying, well, I'm the commander in chief, my friends. Barack Obama, my friends, has never commanded anything, my friends. I'm ready to go on day one, my friends. I don't need a learning curve. And yet when McCain, when you look at the video of McCain walking with his dumbass helmet and his Kevlar vest and his knee pads and his goggle glasses and Marines surrounding him and snipers and helicopters and submarines and whatever else they can throw together to protect this psychopathic bastard, and you watch his body language, discounting the fact that is all those little herky jerky movements from all the times the North Vietnamese tortured him. If you discount all of that and watch McCain with the sneakiness and the furtiveness and the fear and the cowardice and the people around him, even the American commanders, you know, it's kind of like I don't know, like co-conspirators in a dirty, filthy game. And then when McCain meets Iraqi leaders, The sideward glances and where's Senator Lieberman? Can you come over here and interpret for me? Because some of these people speak English and I don't have a goddamn clue. Thank you. And you watch the Iraqi officials around McCain. You know, the sideward glances, the focus on their shoes, the shuffling of papers. And McCain wants to be okay. I'm the commander in chief. I used to bomb people over from 30,000 feet over North Vietnam. So I'm much more qualified for this than Senator Obama. He doesn't, you know. Well, despite all the talk, Juan Cole, writing at Truthout, points out that despite all the talk about Iraq being calm, if you go back to the month before Barack Obama's last visit, see, how many of you, let me see some hands. How many of you thought this is his first trip to Iraq? Let me see. Ah, see, look at all the hands going up. Yeah. No, it isn't. He made a trip to Iraq in January of 2006. Now, when he went then, there were 537 civilian and Iraqi security force casualties. In June of this year, there were 554 of the same casualties, according to the Associated Press. Now, those are statistics gathered passively that has nothing to do with anything. They probably only capture about 10% of the true toll. But in all this talk, these bastards who are saying that, well, Barack Obama, my friends, couldn't even go there, my friends, had it not been for the surge, my friends. What the hell are they talking about? Well, what they're talking about is lies and deceit and deception. And Barack Obama walks into the scene. He talks with people. He listens to people. He doesn't spout pre-digested garbage that's handed to him by some cheesy-ass U.S. State Department flunky who says to the Secretary of State or the Vice President or the President or whatever visiting contingent of right-wing senators happens to be in town, here's what you say. Say this. No. That's not what Obama does. Like him, love him, or consider him to be another corporate tool. At this point, I don't care. If you watch what he's doing there, and you listen to what Maliki says in response to what he's doing there, you come away with a different opinion. Now, there was an interview. And as is usual, with news it doesn't like, the Bush administration tries to muddy the waters, lie, deceive, look over here, not there, there's nothing over there, look over here, look at this shiny thing I'm holding up, don't look over there. They did the same thing regarding the interview of Prime Minister Maliki with Der Spiegel, the German magazine, in which Maliki expressed approval of Obama's plans to get troops out of Iraq within 16 months of next January. All troops, get them out. Maliki told the German magazine in response to a question about how long U.S. troops would be in the country. This is what Maliki said, quote, getting them out. As soon as possible, as far as we're concerned, U.S. presidential candidate Barack Obama talks about 16 months. That, we think, would be the right time frame for a withdrawal, with the possibility of slight changes. And then the interviewer at Der Spiegel said, is this an endorsement for the U.S. president, presidential election in November? Does Obama, who has no military background, ultimately have a better understanding of Iraq than war hero John McCain? Jesus Christ. Maliki answered, quote, those who operate on the premise of short time periods in Iraq today are being more realistic. Artificially prolonging the tenure of U.S. troops in Iraq would cause problems. Of course, this is not an election endorsement. Who they choose as their president is the Americans' business. But it's the business of Iraqis to say what we want. End quote. Der Spiegel. Is this an endorsement? Does Obama, who has no military background, ultimately have a better understanding of Iraq than war hero John McCain? The only problem I have with Der Spiegel's question are the two words war hero. McCain is not a war hero. He's a goddamn killer who got caught and escaped with his life because of who his father was. That's the only reason he's not an MIA.
Sometimes I'm happy. You know, this is, but wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
Well, it is for some people. All right, so Der Spiegel has an interview with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, in which he says he agrees with Barack Obama's plan to get the troops out of the United States within 16 months of January 09. The magazine says, well, is this an endorsement of Obama? And Maliki answers, no, it's not, you know, let the Americans choose who they want. But it's the business of Iraqis to say what we want. Well, immediately after saying that, because all of a sudden there is a deafening silence coming from this filthy U.S. State Department and the filthy White House, and all the people involved in issuing the propaganda, they get very upset when their puppet says something that's not on script. And Maliki went way off the reservation on that one. Yeah, I want everybody out of here. We want everybody. They've been making this clear for months. It just doesn't surface that often in American news reporting. Why should it? Corporate America agrees with the Bush crime family. Keep the troops there. Protect America's interests. That's our oil. They just happen to have built their goddamn country over the top of it, but that's our oil. So, you know, what's all this talk about withdrawal? If we get out of there, corporate America will tell you, and it's news media whores that work for it. If we get out of there, then the Iraqis are going to, you know, steal our oil. Ugh. Can't let that happen. So the Bush crime family has got to cover for the fact that their puppet boy, Maliki, they think he's the puppet boy. Maybe they're going to be surprised. I would think that Nouri al-Maliki would be first an Iraqi and second a puppet. And if he is first an Iraqi, at some point he is going to extend as far as he can the middle finger of his left hand into the face of the Americans, no matter whether they're in uniform or not, and very quietly say, I believe this is your symbol for F off, get out of my country. Of course, he may be doing that now, right? So anyway, the Bush crime family trots out Ali al-Daba, who is usually described as Maliki's spokesman, but actually seems to work for the Pentagon's Middle East Command. If you listen to some of the garbage that's come tumbling out of his mouth, he was trotted out to make some statements about Der Spiegel having mistranslated or misinterpreted what al-Maliki said. Oh, no, no, no. That's not what he said. No, you don't understand Arabic. No, 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 no. Now, the denial was issued through the U.S. military command. Hello? Ali al-Daba, in order to, oh my God, these people are so obvious. Don't any of you in the Bush crime family, and that includes some of the highest ranking military commanders who have gone over to the dark side, don't any of you realize that some of the things you do are so transparent as to render them hilarious? A government, an Iraqi spokesman for the government to correct al-Maliki's statements makes his statement through CENTCOM? When the original demand came from al-Maliki, Juan Cole writes, for a timetable for U.S. withdrawal, it was al-Daba who reinterpreted that as a, quote, time horizon. Aha! Now you see. Now I see. Remember last week when we went all ballistic about what the hell is a time horizon? Who said that? Well, here's your answer. Ali al-Daba, a puppet of not the Bush crime family, but a puppet of the puppets of the Bush crime family, the U.S. military high command in Iraq. Jesus Christ, a puppet operated by puppets. That's scary. So it was Aldaba or Ali, whatever you want to call him, who came up with the phrase time horizon as an interpretation of what Maliki had actually said, time frame or time limit, or get the goddamn hell out of my country. Aldaba was contradicted by National Security Counselor, Iraqi National Security Counselor Muwafaq al-Rubai, who seems to actually closer in his thinking to al-Maliki. Juan Cole says, my guess is that Aldaba has been recruited by some agency in Washington, D.C. to explain away al-Maliki's statements whenever they contradict George Bush's. Why, of course. Meanwhile, Der Spiegel, the German magazine, stands by its story. It turns out that the translator involved in the story works for al-Maliki, not for the magazine. And so you've got to presume the translator knew what Maliki's words meant in Arabic. And for the Pièce de Résistance, it turns out that Der Spiegel has an audio tape of the Arabic of the interview, which they sent to the New York Times. The interpreter for the interview works for Mr. Maliki's office, not Der Spiegel. The following is a direct translation from the Arabic of Mr. Maliki's comments. Quote, Obama's remarks that if he takes office in 16 months, he would withdraw the forces. We think that this period could increase or decrease a little, but that it could be suitable to end the presence of forces in Iraq. End quote. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. So anyway, yeah, the big news, I know, to a lot of people it's just nonsense, but the big news is the trip to the Middle East and Europe being made by Barack Obama. I don't know where he's going to go in Europe. I know he's going to go to Berlin, but beyond that, I don't have his itinerary. I haven't paid any attention. But it is not his first trip to Iraq. I believe it is his first trip to Afghanistan. It has decidedly smeared egg and mustard and oatmeal and baby doo-doo all over the faces of every member of the Bush crime family and poor, doddering old my friend's Senator John McCain, who is trying desperately to minimize or make negative anything that Barack Obama is doing, which is just not really happening, is it, John? Huh? No, it isn't. Now, in the meantime, this was sent to me a few minutes ago. It's at michaelmoore.com. Remember last week when we told you that a cousin of Maliki's had been gunned down by U.S. military forces? Now, it says here that U.S. forces have shot dead the 17-year-old son and another relative of the governor of northern Iraq's Salahuddin province. In a raid yesterday, the U.S. military said it shot two armed men, adding it was later found that they were both related to the governor of that province. Governor Hamad Al-Khazi's brother, Lieutenant Colonel Saad Al-Khazi, said American troops stormed a family house in the town of Baiji where the governor's son Hassam and his cousin were staying. The spokesman said, quote, they shot dead Hassam and wounded three others. This is barbaric and inhuman, end quote. A statement from the U.S. military said its forces had wounded and captured an Al-Qaeda financier in the house. The statement from the U.S. military said, quote, as they entered the target building, coalition forces encountered two armed men. Perceiving hostile intent, they shot and killed the men. It was subsequently determined that the two related to the governor, end quote. The deputy governor of Salahuddin province is demanding an investigation. You see, this is, occupying forces, just by their very nature, will commit these kinds of acts. And then back home, the homeland people who have provided the troops will be told that the troops are defending freedom here in the United States, when in fact that's not, or in Great Britain, or in Germany, or in Australia, wherever it is these troops are from. And it is simply not the case. Honest to God, we are not that stupid, are we? We are not defending freedom in Iraq. We are killing people in Iraq. And we have 19 and 20 and 22-year-old soldiers making snap decisions regarding the intent of people who are armed coming to see who in the goddamn hell has broken into their home. What would you do, truth seeker? Somebody breaks into my house, they will be dead. I promise you. Or I will be. But there will be gunfire. And in a country that is occupied by an invading force, a country that has been in a state of absolute meltdown, chaos, for 17 years, what would you do if people came into your house under those conditions? So, is this a condemnation of U.S. troops? No, it's a condemnation of the presence of U.S. troops. It is a condemnation of the people who sent the troops there to begin with. No, a 20-year-old soldier cannot make a snap decision as to the intent of someone approaching him with a gun. But when he is in the military and is an occupying force, he goddamn doesn't have to! His responsibility is to shoot immediately! This is what we're doing. This is why Maliki is saying, yeah, I think Barack Obama's plan of getting your troops out of my country within 16 months after January 9th or whenever this new guy takes over, because your old group has murdered us, has bloodied us, and now, even now, wants to steal our resources. So, yeah, I agree with your Barack Obama. By the way, I like his name. It's because 20-year-olds are being told, here are your rules of engagement. This is when you shoot. And what does that do to the 20-year-old when he realizes that he has just shot and killed someone who has nothing to do with an insurgency or Al-Qaeda of the mind or whatever the hell it is? How is that kid going to live with the fact? Has he dehumanized the Iraqis to the extent that it doesn't matter? No, I don't think so. But the U.S. military command and the Bush crime family, they don't care how the 20-year-old deals with it. They don't care when he comes back to the United States and he leaves the military, and for the next 10 or 15 years, he is awakened two or three times each night with screaming nightmares. He does it. They don't care if the boy has to deal with PTSD or winds up on drugs or alcohol or beats his wife up and murders his children. They don't care. So it is a condemnation of the troop who fired the shot? No. It's a condemning of the people who put that boy there. Jesus God. On a lighter note, the Nevada Republican Party
citing what it calls a lack of interest, has called off its state convention and will instead pick its delegates. Nevada delegates to the Republican convention will be picked by a private conference phone call. The Wall Street Journal reports, quote, the state party broke up its original convention in April when supporters of Ron Paul hijacked the proceedings and tried to elect delegates for their candidate to the National GOP convention in September. Party officials tried to reconvene on July 26, but they needed a quorum of 675 and received only 300 RSVPs. State party chairwoman Sue Loudon said in a press release, quote, with so many people concerned about the economy, it simply wouldn't be fair for us to ask delegates from all over the state to spend money to attend a convention if we know that a quorum won't be present, end quote. And the Wall Street Journal says the news provides further evidence of a fractured and unenthusiastic Republican Party in some parts of the country. If you remember last week, the Republican nominee in a North Carolina congressional race suspended his campaign while he confronted what he described as fissures in his own party. No, not people with rod and reel. Fissures as in fault lines. And polling, according to the Wall Street Journal, polling suggests a significant enthusiasm gap on the part of Republican voters this year. Now, if you're a Democrat, and I don't care if you're liberal or conservative, because I'm at the point where, you know, I just really am of the opinion that pretty much the Democratic Party sucks. I hope that Barack Obama turns out to be not just another Democratic Party hack. We'll see. But if you're a Democrat, don't think for a moment that because the Republican Party is breaking into its constituent parts and should form six different parties and thereby just disappear beneath the waves of sewage that it has produced, don't think that because it's breaking apart like this that you don't need to go vote. You do, because the remaining factions in the Republican Party will try once again to steal everything that's not locked down come election day, and some that are locked down. So don't think just because the Republican Party is about to get what it so richly deserves, and that's annihilation, that you don't have to vote. I got bad news, but I don't know how or why. I'm looking for me. You're looking for you. We're looking at each other, and we don't know what to do. They call me the seeker. I've been searching low and high.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
21 past the hour. The full text of what I'm about to share with you will be at my website after the program is over, where Kathy lists the links to the topics we talked about on any given program. But I want to share a little bit of this with you. This is about a soldier whose picture appeared on the in the newspapers. Sure. Well, let me just share it with you. It says, officers had been to the White Ranch House at 560 West Longleaf many times before over the past year to respond to a, quote, barricade situation, end quote. Each had ended uneventfully with Joseph Dwyer coming out or telling police in a calm voice through the window that he was okay. But this time was different. The Iraq War veteran had called a taxi service to take him to the emergency room, but when the driver arrived, Dwyer shouted that he was too weak to get up and open the door. Officers on the scene asked Dwyer for permission to kick it in. "Go ahead," he yelled. They found Dwyer lying on his back, his clothes soiled with urine and feces. Scattered on the floor around him were dozens of spent cans of Dust-Off, a refrigerant-based aerosol normally used to clean electrical equipment. Dwyer told Police Lieutenant Mike Wilson that he'd been huffing the aerosol. "Help me, please," the former Army medic begged Lieutenant Wilson. "I'm dying. Help me. I can't breathe." Unable to stand or even sit up, Dwyer was hoisted onto a stretcher. As paramedics prepared to load him into the ambulance, an officer noted Dwyer's eyes had glassed over and were fixed. A half hour later, he was dead. When Dion Knapp learned of her friend's June 28th death, her first reaction was to be angry at Dwyer. How could he leave his wife and daughter like this? Didn't he know he had friends who cared about him, who wanted to help? But as time passed, Dion Knapp's anger turned toward the Army. A photograph taken in the first days of the war had made the medic from New York's Long Island a symbol of the United States' good intentions in the Middle East. When he returned home, he was hailed as a hero. But for most of the past 5 years, the 31-year-old soldier had writhed in a private hell, shooting at imaginary enemies and dodging non-existent roadside bombs, sleeping in a closet bunker and trying desperately to huff away the demons in his head. When his personal problems became public, efforts were made to help him, but nothing seemed to work. The broken, frightened man had once been the embodiment of American might and compassion. If the military couldn't save him, his friend Dion Knapp thought, what hope was there for the thousands suffering in anonymity? Yeah, it's a lengthy story, one of several that have appeared in various newspapers around the country or written by AP writer or Reuters writer or New York Times wire service writer. Stories that are extremely personal and unbelievably sad because of the tragedy of being told by the military that you have joined willingly, that you are going to go to a war zone, and that you are going there in order to track down and kill the people who attacked us on September 11th, 2001. And because you are young and because you are dedicated to protecting your country, you buy the story. And when the U.S. military, a puppet of the Bush crime family, finishes with you, you're kicked to the curb if you're still alive. You're just kicked to the curb. Get out of here, soldier. There's no such thing as post-traumatic stress disorder. You're huffing off of pressurized cans. Jesus, that's kind of stupid for a soldier. Why are you doing that? On a lighter note, there was a rally and press conference today in New York City hosted by a national autism group, several, against right-wing radio talk show host Michael Savage, also known as Michael Wiener, one of the right-wing talk radio hosts in the country, who recently claimed, this thug did, that autism was a fraud in 99% of cases. We talked about this Friday, and that the children involved needed to, quote, cut the act out, end quote. So the National Autism Group held a press conference today in Manhattan to announce a rally and protest to be held in San Francisco on July 23rd. That is what, Kathy, Wednesday? Autism support groups are going to call for the firing and boycott of San Francisco-based neo-Nazi radio jock Michael Savage. You know, keep in mind that Savage, anyone who makes those kind of statements, Savage claims to be a Jew, but he is not. He simply is not. What Savage is a reanimation of some dead capo at Auschwitz or Bergen-Belsen or Sobibor or any of the death camps that decided that children, especially children who showed psychological weaknesses, should be burned.
In a land that's clean and free for every color and culture, every person, every belief, your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house, 'cause I do.
Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Email here from Melmo Blue, who has a blog site. The note says, might add to the conversation about the savage Nazi that two of his now former sponsors are dropping out from advertising on his show after the autism comment, those two being insurance company Aflac and Home Depot. Well, that's good. The reactions against Savage have been loud, and MediaMatters.org has put up links to give their visitors the possibility of contacting his affiliates and to react to his attacks on children with autism. Aflac announced earlier today they're dropping their advertisements on his show, and according to an article in the New York Times. Savage says he stands by his words and went on to call Media Matters a fascist site. fascist. Oh, God. The thing that is so horrifying about Hannity and Savage and the Pigman is the widespread dissemination of their hate talk. You know, I said it, was it last week or a couple of weeks ago, that the reason Rush Limbaugh will be making $37 million a year for the foreseeable future is that he runs a protection racket. And the junior members of the protection racket are people like Michael Savage and Sean Hannity. And what they are protecting is corporate America. But even corporate America sometimes can't deal with the outrages that these thugs drop into the airwaves. The most recent example being this Nazi, Michael Wiener, who would have been very comfortable as a death camp guard at Auschwitz. It's very clear that he would be. But even corporate America at times cannot handle some of these statements. They expect the people providing their protection to dial it back just a little bit, continue to make America numb and stupid and willfully ignorant, boys. But for Christ's sake, don't attack autistic children, because then we have to pull our support from you, and we have to do it publicly. Look what we had to do with what we had to do. Oh, God. Yeah, Imus. Well, it's a difficult to remember last name. Look what we had to do with Don Imus. We had to render him professionally dead because he said nappy-headed hoes. So what corporate America does is they, by supporting these beasts like Hannity and Limbaugh and Savage, they are underwriting the kind of broadcast that would be very comfortable or would be well placed to be in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia, Soviet Union, or in a country that was completely ignorant of its own present, its own past, its own future. That's what these guys do. They run a multi-million dollar protection racket. And but they're not honest and upfront about it. You know, a mafioso will come by and break your arms and then tell you very, very plainly, when your arms heal, we will break them again unless you want some protection from this sort of thing. What you say, Paisan? That's straight ahead, up front, no problem. Oh, okay, how much? What these bastards do, Hannity and Limbaugh and Savage and the dozens of roach-like imitators who just scurry all over the radio dial, oh my God, and show up every once in a while on MSNBC or CNN or Fox, you know, for those little enlightening back and forths that that some of us will no longer participate in no matter what. But they are paid enormous amounts of money in order to dumb down America, keep it stupid, keep Americans at each other's throats. But every once in a while, they will make a statement or statements that are that turn out to be so far beyond the bounds of what even corporate America will allow that they have to bitch slap these Nazis, like, which is exactly what's happening to Michael Savage right now. He's being smacked around by a couple of his bigger advertisers. Talk America, the neo-Nazi syndicator that puts this thug and dozens more on the airwaves, will do nothing. WOR that carries this program in New York will do nothing. They'll say, well, we're sorry if Michael Savage's personal point of view was offensive to anyone. Nothing. There's no penalty. There never is a penalty. Rush Limbaugh can sit there and mock people like Michael J. Fox, who has Parkinson's, and display it on his Rush Cam, sitting there mocking and making fun of the neuromuscular reactions to this disease, and nobody does anything. It's a goddamn joke. Your child has a disease? Ah, the child's a brat. You have a disease? Ah, so what? You're a goddamn liberal, so twitch and shake and bite your own fingertips. Who cares? This is so reductive. This is what reduces me to the point of wishing horror on these people. I can't help it. See, I don't have the strictures imposed by some religion. It says, oh, no, do unto others, turn the other cheek, golden rule, yada, yada. Nah, I don't think so. You know, pure disgust and evil and ugliness, I think, of this sort, this moral fracture, this ethical misbehavior should be met in kind. What are you going to do? Someone who says that autistic 99% of autistic children are faking, get your ass in shape, little boy, or I'll come over there. You know, why doesn't Dad smack your ass? What are you going to do with somebody like that? Well, if you're Aflac or Home Depot, I think it's Home Depot also, then it's just, you know, too far. Savage wants to attack gay people and wish they all die from AIDS. Okay, we can go along with that. Okay. Corporate America can say, okay, we're not going to say anything one way or the other. We're just going to be quiet. We're going to be quiet. We're just going to sit here and be quiet. But attacking autistic children? Okay, Wiener, you went too far. We're going to have to slap you around a little bit. So no more advertising from this one and that one and this one and that one. But you see, that doesn't happen with pieces of human waste like Hannity and Limbaugh. Hannity and Limbaugh are richly rewarded for their part in providing this protection racket for corporate America. And I find it kind of disgusting. So tomorrow, a rally and protest in San Francisco because of what Michael Savage Wiener, the guy who would have liked to have been a Nazi death camp guard, had to say about autistic children. Steve wrote about it. Mike, after just listening to you talk about Savage and his reprehensible comments about autistic children, I have to wonder if he knows the truth, Steve wrote this a couple of days ago, and is lying for effect, or if he is just effing ignorant and doesn't know any better. I just sat there in shock with tears in my eyes as you read the words of his rant. Not only am I a transcriptionist who types quite a few reports about autistic children, but a 13-year-old nephew of my ex-wife has Asperger syndrome and is anything but what Savage said. Brilliant mind, overachiever, well-mannered, etc. Savage calls him a little girl, a faker. Is Savage mad? I'd like to see my nephew talk to Savage about autistic children and set the jerk straight on some things. Needless to say, I agree with your point of view. To hear some of the appalling statements allowed to pass from the lips of these right-wing talk show hosts like Savage, Michael Reagan, Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and the rest of them really shed light to me on why so many people in this country are so damned ignorant. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. How did it become acceptable, important, and well-paid positions to put the kind of garbage out over the airwaves that that these right-wing talk show hosts do on radio and television? How did that happen? Does corporate America really disrespect us that much? Are they really willing to underwrite that kind of garbage to the extent that they do? Well, what's left but to just kind of point at them and say shame, right?
They put their faith and trust in God and corporations. They stand for piety that doesn't suffer.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. Jane writes in, isn't Savage the guy who said all Muslim babies should be killed, that he'd like to stick a hand grenade up their butts and say bye-bye, baby? actually, no, Jane, that was another one. That was Michael Reagan, the adopted son of dead President Ronald Reagan, who made that comment. Jane writes, isn't it interesting that we have an outrage over autistic children, but nobody cared about murdering Muslim babies? Well, it's all an outrage. I mean, every bit of it. But corporate America will always stand behind these people. Always. Corporate America will always enable people like Hannity and Savage and Reagan and Beck and Limbaugh to spew their insanity over the airwaves. Always. Because in doing that, we don't focus on the things that we need to focus on that would spell trouble for corporate America, whether it's the pharmaceutical industrial complex or the military industrial complex or the energy industrial complex. That's why it is paid protection. That's why so much money is paid to these people. That's why enormous broadcast conglomerates like Clear Channel or whatever the big syndicators are now, they put these programs on. It's protection money. And as long as these programs are out there, the truth just is going to go nowhere. It's you know, when you have a two-pronged attack like that, you have network and cable television absolutely butchering the truth, but at least the truth floats out there sometimes on the television shows in a crippled form. But when you have talk radio, right-wing talk radio, there is no truth or honor or decency anywhere. If you've got the stomach to do it, listen to one three-hour presentation from one of these animals and see how you feel when it's over. I'm not talking about, you know, if you're a devotee of these thugs, you wallow in this stuff. You love it because it feeds right into your stupidity and your willful ignorance and your bigotry and your fear, mostly your fear. That's what these guys do. They feed into your fear. They lock and load you so that you can't even, well, no, I can't say that. But they do. They lock and load you and coagulate your blood and destroy whatever courage or honor or decency you might have had left from what your mom and daddy taught you. But that's why the Savages and Hannitys and Michael Wieners and the Glenn Becks and Limbaughs and the rest of them are so valuable. Oh, my God. Because they provide the cover fire that requires everyone to keep their head down. They run a protection racket. And corporate America will pay for it forever. We have a quote here from McCain. I want you to hear this. What was interesting, the New York Times was just kind of speculating about the possibility that Barack Obama might make a gaffe or a misstep as he does his walkabout. New York Times says Obama's travels carry political risk, particularly if Mr. Obama makes a mistake. But the only real error in the last few days was on, I think it was this morning, ABC's Good Morning America, when John McCain, again, got his geography all screwed up. At least he didn't make reference to the non-existent country of Czechoslovakia during the interview. But here's Diane Sawyer asked him a question.
Do you agree the situation in Afghanistan is precarious and urgent?
Well, I think it's very serious.
Not precarious and urgent?
I think it's a serious situation. Oh, I don't know exactly whether run through the vocabulary, but it's a serious situation. But there's a lot of things we need to do. We have a lot of work to do, and I'm afraid that it's a very hard struggle, particularly given the situation on the Iraq-Pakistan border.
Jesus God. And Diane Sawyer didn't even correct him, which, you know, which is par for the course. Why should she? She probably doesn't know either. The Iraq-Pakistan border. Oh, well, Mike, you know, you're doing a typical left-wing liberal thing. It's just he just misspoke. He meant the Iraq-Afghanistan border. Or he meant the Pakistan. Well, he meant something, but not that. Way to go, Malloy, you liberal punk. Making fun of a war hero. We have a lot of work to do, but I'm afraid it's a very hard struggle, particularly given the situation on the Iraq-Pakistan border.
Don't you just get sick of Republican presidents who don't know their own basic geography of, you know, the places?
Or president wannabes, politicians.
They want to bomb and kill.
Well, sure.
You know, Bush talks about, you know, he hopes one day that, Israel can resolve its problems with Pakistan.
No, Israel can live in peace with its neighbor, with its next door, live in peace next door to Iraq.
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell they said. It doesn't make any difference. They don't care. They don't care about the nuances required when you speak in real words, real thoughts, real ideas, real geography, real history, real anything. You know, it's just, it's a bat squeeze. It makes no difference. It's the same thing that Hannity and Limbaugh and Savage and Beck and the rest of these animals do. What a shame. All right, we'll be back after the break with your phone calls and a little bit later in the program. A Moment with Bob. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. It is Monday night. This is the Malloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. If you've been here for the entire program, special thanks. All right. Once again, it's time for A Moment with Bob. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's edition of A Moment with Bob. Hey, Mike, I just finished reading The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, Vince Bugliosi's book. Yow. After reading this, I think that one of the worst situations a person could ever find themselves in would be guilty of a crime and have Vincent Bugliosi prosecuting. It's obvious that if you offend Bugliosi's sense of justice, he'll turn himself into a juggernaut of doom and come after your ass until justice prevails. Like Bugliosi's earlier essay, None Dare Call It Treason, in his follow-up book, The Betrayal of America, the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder is completely devoid of partisanship whatsoever. A horrendous injustice has been done, and Bugliosi wants the criminals exposed and punished. I received an email from a coffee customer here in Seattle wanting to know if I'd go with her to give a copy of the book to our district attorney. Sure. I'll have to make arrangements to have someone come over and look after my son, as I don't want to take him with us if something happens. Because of the email I received, on Sunday I revamped the first page of the Super Bean site into a terrible marketing idea for coffee. But I hope it will sell lots and lots of copies of The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. If you want to, check out how not to sell coffee. Go to superbeans.com tonight. We the people and the Constitution cannot hurdle the Pelosi-Reid roadblock to impeachment. The Bush regime will leave office unpunished for their crimes. But what if every state's attorney general, state attorney, or county-level district attorney received a copy of The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder? This is what I'm suggesting to everyone who comes to my website, superbeans.com. The hope is that just one of these attorneys who received the book will begin a prosecution against Bush, Cheney, Rice, and the other criminals of the Bush regime after January. What are the chances? Who knows? The legislative branch of our government has refused to listen to us. If we are reduced to only being capable of symbolic acts, then let us proceed in the hopes that this symbolic act will be the beginning of the return of justice and the rule of law. We can't do anything about the Bush regime while they're in office, but after Inauguration Day, some brave prosecutor in this country, armed with the information in Mr. Bugliosi's book, could bring these criminals to trial. If one of those Our actions are mirrored millions of times. It's one of those, our actions are mirrored millions of times deal. If we do nothing, millions of people do the same. But if we do something, millions of other people will be acting also. The book is number 9 now on the New York Times hardcover nonfiction bestseller list, even though it's being ignored by the mainstream media. This is from the International Herald Tribune of July 7th. The book on murder prosecution of Bush is mostly ignored. As an author, Bugliosi has written 3 number 1 bestsellers and won 3 Edgar Allan Poe Awards, the top honor for crime writers. But what happens when a big-name author, who more than 30 years ago co-wrote the bestseller Helter Skelter, publishes a book that the mainstream press has shied away from? Bugliosi's latest, a polemic with the provocative title The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, has risen to bestseller status with nary a peep from the usual outlets that help sell books, cable television and book reviews in major daily newspapers. Bugliosi, in a recent interview by telephone from his home in Los Angeles, said he had expected some pushback from the mainstream media because of the subject matter. The book lays a legal case for holding Bush criminally responsible for the deaths of American soldiers in Iraq, but he did not expect a virtual blackout. The book is selling well, Bob writes. Over 130,000 copies only because of talk radio and the Internet. The people are circumventing the mainstream media to get at the truth. Tilting at windmills? Perhaps. But I learned from my dad, who taught engineering for 39 years, if you hit something with enough force at the right angle, it will collapse. Or maybe it was Firesign Theater's Bud's first law of opposition. Quote, if you push something hard enough, it will fall over, end quote. Regardless, I think it's worth a shot. Bob. Another Moment with Bob, brought to you by your friends at Offshore Drilling. If you want to check out what he's talking about at his website, go there now, superbeans.com, superbeans.com. How not to sell very good coffee. All right. One last thing here, and then after this break, we're going to go to your phone calls. We already did this about the Bush regime now is pressuring al-Maliki to withdraw his endorsement of Barack Obama's redeployment plan. Yeah, we already covered that. Oh, this was the last thing I want to toss out there. One more thing about John McCain. When the other day when he said that Social Security is an absolute disgrace, Social Security, and the checks received by people who have paid their taxes and are now getting a return. Don't forget, Social Security is not an investment plan. It's an insurance plan. But McCain refers to it as an absolute disgrace that, to any degree, the people receiving Social Security or SSI are doing so because of the money being collected from active or current workers. That, McCain says, is an absolute disgrace. But why is it then that McCain has no problem receiving almost $2,000 a month of this absolute disgrace? McCain gets $1,930 per month, or got last year, in Social Security benefits. McCain apparently told reporters, I'm receiving benefits, my friends. Then he added, the system is broken, and unfortunately, my children and grandchildren, my friends, according to the trustees of the Social Security system, my friends, will not have the same benefits the present retirees have, my friends. Okay, well, McCain receives a Senate salary of over $165,000 a year. His wife, Cindy, made $6 million in 2006 that brought her net worth to approximately $100 million. So it's likely that his children and grandchildren will have no worries at all. Now, clearly, the McCains don't rely on the $23,000 in Social Security he receives each year. So if he's going to call it an absolute disgrace, why doesn't John McCain, the war hero, make a very clear and definitive statement by not participating in a system that he considers so disgraceful? Amy Weiss, writing at BuzzFlash, suggests that very idea. And we'll post this at the website, our website tonight, too, when the program's over. Unbelievable stuff. McCain. Oh, yes, my friends. It's an absolute disgrace. Where's my check? I don't make nearly as much as my snake-eyed woman makes. And I hate it when she looks at me, especially first thing in the morning. Oh.
Seekers, time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children, just building a cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Because I don't understand, but what kind of a man should have to sacrifice his life for?
21 past the hour. Let's go to your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. Let's start tonight with Marge, who's calling from northwestern Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Well, good evening, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. When I started the day, I wanted to make sure I shared with you what I thought was the quote of the week. But if you want a brief rundown on what's going on in Illinois, I'll tell you.
Sure.
To start out with, Rod Blagojevich, the current governor, is friends with Emil Jones, the Senate president. These are all Illinois places. President of the Senate.
Yeah.
Mike Madigan is the head of the House of Representatives and friends with Richie Daley.
Yeah.
His daughter is the Illinois Attorney General, and they have hopes of her taking Rod's place after he leaves or is forced out, whichever.
Yeah.
Last year, they're supposed to have a budget. I'm not sure if it's the end of May or end of June, whatever the date is, one of those. And they never had, I don't think they had one until almost Thanksgiving, which put the CTA almost out of business. They needed funding to keep it running.
Let's let people know what that is. That's the public transportation system.
Yeah, right,
in
trains
Chicago.
And buses in Chicago,
right, right.
And the Northeastern block.
Right.
Did I tell you that when Rod took over as governor, he made a pledge not to raise any taxes, period, end of statement. He didn't want to make any of them. So when they ended their regular session for the state legislature, they had a budget this year, but it was $2 billion out of balance.
Right.
So Rod took out his veto pen and started cutting programs.
Right.
Some programs that he had promised, something like something that pertained to kids' health care and education and like that and whatever. And, of course, Richie is totally pissed because he's trying his damnedest to get the Olympic Games for 2016 for the city of Chicago.
But wait, I thought Blagojevich was a Democrat.
He is.
Well,
they're all Democrats. All these people that I've told you are all Democrats.
I don't know at what point in the program you got on the phone so you could hear it. But you know what we talked about earlier was Blagojevich deciding that it might be time to call in the National Guard to police the city of Chicago because of all the kids that are being shot by other kids.
Well, you see, the reason it got to that is that they're still fighting over this damn budget.
Right.
And as it turned out, last weekend. a young girl, 9 years old, was viciously attacked and killed. And I think she may have been the 29th.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, the 29th kid shot or knifed or murdered.
Well, sexually attacked and slashed up.
No, oh, Jesus.
I mean, it was ugly. Mm. You know, you see that on the nightly news, and you just kind of steel yourself how often you can listen to that. But anyway, that was going on. And plus, all this stuff with the budget is going back and forth, and they're fighting and arguing and whatever. So as Blagojevich was signing a bill into for something, I forget what it was exactly, he decided, along with that, he would make the announcement without even telling Richie he was going to do it, that he would offer him the state troopers and the National Guard helicopters,
right,
if he needed them, to help control the crime in mm-hmm. the city of Chicago. Well, he didn't warn Richie about that. And in the last couple of weeks, the relatively new superintendent of police, Jody Weiss, I think is his name, he's from Philadelphia,
right,
was being told about how bad things were and how he was trying to clean up the various neighborhoods. And just before that, the sheriff of Cook County was charged by the state's attorney, what's his name, Fitzgerald, that the Cook County jails were so bad and overcrowded and whatnot. And since his name, the sheriff, is Dart, and he's been trying to work on it, and according to him, you know, he's been trying to make these corrections, but there's no money, and, you know, and... what's his name? Bolger?
I'm not sure.
The Cook County president.
Right. Don't know, but that's all right.
Whatever his name is.
Right.
He's the son of the previous one.
Right. Well, that's how it works.
Yeah, well.
Well, Richie Daley is the son of the previous one.
Yeah, well, there was a couple in between, though.
Well, there were a couple in between, but they drove Jane...
Jane Byrne,
almost to the point of madness, and they made sure that Harold Washington had a massive heart attack.
Yeah,
waiting for Richie to assume the throne.
I'll tell you, you can't tell the players without a scorecard around here anymore. And I get all the news out of Chicago, so I know more about what's going on in Illinois than I do about what's going on in Indiana.
Well, I hear you, but one thing that is absolutely true, and this is the part that disturbs me, Marge.
And he just did that thing about offering him the state troopers to put a stick in his eye because he wanted to.
I think you're right. The thing that disturbs me about all of this is the fact that they're all Democrats. Isn't that funny, Marge? Thanks. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Here's a catheter, siphon up your life. Talk radio, I love you. You fulfill me. You're a hideous reminder of how this community. Talk radio, I love you. You fulfill me. You're a hideous reminder.
Twenty-five before the hour. Back to your phone calls here on the Nova M radio network. Michael is calling from the Bronx, listening via the internet. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm trying to remain calm after the Michael Savage comments. I mean, he's become the latest right-wing bastard to get under my skin. I mean, the thing is that they're the first that want to talk to us liberals about being responsible and using the First Amendment when we talk about Bush and whatever, but then these bastards, they come around and they make comments that are not only racially divisive, but to me, it creates a threat towards an individual's life. I mean, I remember Bill O'Reilly saying about the shooting of Sean Bell being no big deal, and then he says something about black families who's lost their home and the children had died. He says that if they weren't here in this nation illegally to begin with, they'd be alive today. And then now Savage comes up with this remark about autistic children. I mean, he's the first person, and I know him and other right-wingers, who would turn around and fight against any kind of medication that will cure these diseases. So as far as I'm concerned, they want the liberals and the Democrats that suffer from these diseases, Parkinson's disease, autism, to just suffer and die, and then the hell with everybody. And if they're going to be like that, then why not get them charged for murder? Just the same way that Ann Coulter says that liberal Supreme Court justice should be shot dead. They should be killed and all to rid the world of them. I mean, anytime they make a death threat like that, or a threat against somebody's well-being, they ought to be held criminally accountable, shouldn't they?
In my opinion, they should, Michael. Absolutely, they should be held criminally accountable. But again, what you're overlooking, and I know it's just momentarily because I know you're aware of this, if you are a right-winger in this country, you can say just about anything you want to. You can, and if you're wealthy enough, you can do just about anything you want to. Where concerns right-wing talk radio, only when it crosses a certain line does corporate America get its bile up and decide to discipline their shock troops. And that's one of the reasons that a couple of big advertisers have pulled out of the Savage Wieners program. Not that they disapprove of what he said. Why should they disapprove? They're corporations. But because other people seem to disapprove. And that can reflect poorly on the corporations that keep these monsters in business. It is not the listeners that keep the right-wing talk show hosts going. It is the sponsors. So, it's kind of a losing proposition, Michael, to assume that right wingers would be held to the same standards as normal people. They are not. The sole function of right wing radio broadcasters is to lie, confuse, shake as much disinformation and misinformation into the public realm as possible, and for that they are paid enormous sums of money. That's just the way it works. John is calling from California, listening on the internet. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. This Barack Obama, I'm a supporter of him, a couple of these things he's been doing here lately has got me a little antsy. The Pfizer thing, and then now lately, right. This thing about wanting to arm our youth or to help out with Homeland Security is really getting a lot of chatter in a lot of circles here.
Yeah, I've seen that. I haven't really taken a look at what he said. I don't know if he's, I don't know if the way the story is being spun, if that's exactly what he meant, but, I'm certainly open to hearing someone say, yeah, Mike, that's what he meant. I'm going to have to read the article myself or read the reports myself and see what I think he said.
Well, I think what's concerning a lot of people is, for one thing, you see Barack, he goes here and there, he's overseas now, but even when he's here in America, you look at all of the security force that has to protect this guy, and you think to yourself, whose security force is that? And we all know the answer to that. It's the Nazis that Bush has installed. A lot of these guys are from totalitarian regimes. A lot of them have citizenship, you know, places like the far right in Israel and places like that, and he's got to depend on them. So I, like a lot of others, feel that if he gets out of line, hey, he's under somebody else's regime at this time.
Well, we
got to keep his feet to the fire. That's what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Barack Obama needs to be made very clear to Barack Obama, John, that it was not conservative Democrats who launched his campaign and who funded his campaign. They jumped on the bandwagon because I think even conservative Democrats, even Republicans, have had enough, and the Republican Party has got nobody. There is no one in the Republican Party who is worth the powder to blow him to hell, and I think even Republicans understand that. But Barack Obama is starting to realize that he just might get the presidency by acclamation. That's going to have an effect on anybody's ego state, don't you think? So, yeah, you're right. The only way to keep Obama from becoming, an American Caesar is to, as you put it, keep his feet to the fire. You didn't think it would get to this point, did you? Well, I certainly didn't. But I think we missed a few very important points along the way, and that is the country is so disgusted with the corruption and the lies and the warmongering and the death and just the absolute ripping to pieces of this country that the Republicans have put us through, that anyone who is articulate and charismatic and confident like Barack Obama just opens the floodgates. Now, whether or not Barack Obama has the, and I have to use this word, maturity to withstand this adulation, this almost universal acceptance of this guy, the hope is that he has the maturity to handle this and realize that it's not so much who he is, but rather who he isn't, that is making so many people swing to his campaign. Again, it's not who he is. He's a freshman senator, for Christ's sake. He's, what, 46, 47 years old? Relatively speaking, he's a young man. No. It's who he isn't. He isn't a filthy Republican, at least not obviously so. Maybe not at all. I mean, I'm not sure. And I'm not as wise as some of the people who email me. I'm not sure what his overall plan is. I don't know if he's going to turn out to be, you know, another Democrat who is a shill for corporate America. I don't know. I realize he's doing things right now that is inherently, these are warning signs that, watch this guy. I understand that. Is he doing it? Why? I don't know. We'll find out soon enough, because he is going to be the next president of the United States. There's no question about that. Even when the sons of bitches try to steal this election, it's not going to happen, because McCain is not going to win anything, not even Arizona. He really isn't. He's not. McCain is toast. Nobody wants this functionally illiterate man, John McCain, to be the so-called leader of the so-called free world. Nobody wants him. He's a disaster. So let's hope, Michael, that Barack doesn't confuse the desire of people to get someone else in charge with the desire that someone be just him. There's a difference.
panic would invite.
Ten before the hour. Thanks to the crew. Our program is engineered by Ian Huff, who also answered your phone calls. Billy Foster is the technical director. Ben Birch is the podcast manager. Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher. Bridget Wolf, writer-in-resident. Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent. And Catherine Bay, the executive producer. Oh, and don't forget to... If you live in the Seattle area or any place on the West Coast, on August 16th, a Saturday night from 6 till 9, absolute blowout at the Seattle Civic Center. Is that where it is? You can get all the information by going to KPTK AM Radio's website in Seattle. It is, it's going to be, I don't know, man. I feel like I should come armed to this one. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, armed for a good time. Oh, my God, it's just going to be an absolute. Hartman, Sam Cedar, and I, along with Stephanie Miller, Randy Rhodes, and Rachel Maddow, will be there along with Michael Reagan, who, not Michael, Jesus, not him, Ron Reagan, who will be the moderator or MC or whatever. I'm not sure what the format is, but I know the previous 2 years I've gone to these events at KPTK in Seattle, we have had an absolute ball. The people at that radio station are just wonderful to work with on a gig like this, and they really provide an evening of, I don't know, it sounds like cliches, but an evening of excitement. I mean, you get these six people plus Ron Reagan on a stage together, you don't think there's going to be excitement? Oh, my God. I cannot wait. I just can't wait for this. August 16th, Saturday night, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., Seattle Civic Center, I believe. Just go to KPTK's website, 1690 in Seattle. Is it 1690, Kathy? It's not 1690. What's their place on the dial? Oh, it doesn't matter. KPTK in 1060. I knew it had a 6 in it. So check it out. If you want information about tickets, go to their website. And if you live anywhere on the West Coast and want to have some fun that night, I mean it's going to be a night to remember. I swear it is. We're going to try to get Randy Rhodes to come to this gig, to come out on stage naked. So that alone would be worth the price of admission, right? And if she don't do it, maybe we can get Sam Cedar.
I know you'd do it, but, you know, Jesus, you've done that so many times.
I know. You know, you can only do that so many times, and then it's just like, oh, well, is he going to get naked again? You know, it's just boring. Back to your phone calls. Bob is calling from Tennessee, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Bob.
Mike.
Bob.
Mike.
Bob.
The pain in the arse gets twice as much Social Security as I do.
Oh, my God. Does he really?
I make less than $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
And that's my total income. I don't have his 160,000 or whatever else.
You don't have an heiress wife who owns a beer distributorship or whatever she owns?
No, as a matter of fact, my wife is still working, and she is still paying into the system. And as a matter of fact, my children pay into the system.
Huh.
So McCain has got it all together wrong. As a matter of fact, since Reagan, I paid twice. I paid, they doubled my FICA when in the 80s and 90s when I was still working.
Uh-huh.
I was paying twice the Social Security. So I was paying for the people that came before me mm-hmm. and for myself.
Right.
And so he's completely, completely off the wall here.
Well, I think where it concerns Social Security, since it is an insurance program, you know, I don't know how, I'm not sure how to do this, because a lot of people who pay into it over the years will eventually need it. But then there are people like McCain who do pay into it over the years and just literally don't need it. There have been ideas floated that payout through Social Security should be means tested. In other words,
no, that'll ruin it. I don't go that direction. Because
yeah, well, no. I'm just saying these ideas have been tossed out there because eventually, I do know this. I think I know this. There's so much garbage thrown out about Social Security, but I think I know that eventually, given the demographic makeup of the U.S. And the workforce and and people who are not working, that it's going to be impossible to sustain it on the wages of people still working. Now, I don't know if that's true.
All we have to do is take the cap off of it so that these wealthy people
that's true, too. Right.
Like these hundred people that sent their money to Liechtenstein that aren't paying any taxes at all, they should not only be paying income taxes, they should be paying FICA, too.
Well, you said 100 people. You realize it's more like several thousand.
Well, probably, but
there shouldn't be a cap on it. If what is it now? At 89,000 a year,
something like that,
and then you don't pay any more Social Security tax. Yeah, I think that's crazy too. That's another perk for the absolutely wealthy people in this country. So,
and that's the only threat to Social Security.
Is it? Okay. Well, like I say, there have been so many lies and so much disinformation put out by the right wing. You know, I can remember, I think it was Reagan talking about how Social Security was on the verge of collapse unless it was turned over to a private, like the stock market or private investors. And then Pappy Bush said that, and Junior Bush said it. And
we don't learn from what other people do. This is what the Tories and Labor did with the railroads in England.
Well, that's another story, Bob, and we're out of time, so we have to leave it right there. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate you checking in. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Be here. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.